Hello and welcome to Safari Conversations, the Singita podcast. Even though we've been around for 30 years, we're relatively new to podcasting. But we are storytellers by nature and we've got so much to share with you. Alongside our conservation partners, we've been busy exploring and protecting Africa's wilderness. So join us as we unpack inspiring, fun, and sometimes crazy stories where you'll meet our incredible people and learn all about the special places in Africa that we call home. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes.
Welcome to another episode of Safari Conversations. I'm Lindy Rousseau, Singita strategist, and today we're talking to Jordi de Souza Costa and Paul Vandenberg, who are both designers and partners at Cecile & Boyd. They also happen to be very good friends of mine. Singita has worked with Cecile & Boyd for the past 30 years, and I have had the privilege of being able to work with these two for 16 of those 30 years. It's such a pleasure to be able to sit back with you both and unpack this enduring and I think quite exceptional partnership today. Welcome to all of our listeners and hello to Jordi and Paul. I think let's just kick off maybe by hearing a little bit more about each of you. George, you are Boyd's sister, Boyd, of course, being the Boyd and Cecile & Boyd. And it would be great to hear a little bit more of your background. How did you get into this and just a little bit of your journey?
Hi, everyone. Yeah, I actually started off after school wanting to study all sorts of things like law and physiotherapy and figured out 4 years later that none of those suited me at all. And I really was a creative, especially, I think, following in my parents' footsteps and my brother Boyd's footsteps. I come from a very creative family, so I thought, let me just try this out and see what happens. So I went to university first, and then I ended up in design school in Cape Town, and I got my first job with Bruce Stafford, who was a prominent architect in Durban. And in those days, there was no such thing as interior designers working with architects. So it was very novel and new. I was the only interior designer in the office in the studio, and really, really wet behind the ears, very, very inexperienced. And I got this job, and the first project that came our way was the first ever Singita. So it was very exciting and quite frightening at the same time.
Well, George, I'm very, very glad we didn't lose you to law. Sorry, law, but I'm very glad we didn't lose you to law, because I wonder where we would be if Jordi had ended up being a lawyer. And Paul, I mean, 29 years you've been with Cecile & Boyd. So this really is quite an incredible story. You almost 30 years, Singita almost 30 years, Jordi 30 years. Talk to us a little bit about those 29 years, how they happened, and what is the secret of this enduring relationship?
Lindy, it has been an incredible journey. I was 18 years old when I met Cecile, Jordi and Boyd through mutual close friends who had a neighboring sugarcane farm on the Natal North Coast. We naturally gravitated towards each other. We all had a wonderful connection, looking at life in a similar way. After studying interior design at the White House School of Interior Design in Cape Town, where Jordi had also studied, I had my design studio for 3 years. During this time, Cecile and Boyd kept saying we should do this together. We joined forces in a small studio attached to our retail store on Durban's Florida Road. Jordi and I did everything from design to production, logistics, and installations. In 2001, we all decided to move to Cape Town and relocated our design studio to where it is today in De Waterkant. Although the studio has grown, we have intentionally kept it small and niche. It is unusual to be best friends and business partners, and at times we've lived together and been neighbors. We have a mutual love of design and a respect for each other's specific strengths.
Yeah. So, you know, if we look at this, there's lots of 30s here. You know, Singita's just celebrated last year its 30th anniversary. And as we mentioned, Cecile & Boyd has literally been part of that journey for the full 30 years. It's such an exceptional story, this. Such an exceptional partnership. And I know there are so many parallels when one does start to analyze these two businesses. both family owned, both remained small, both very, very purpose driven businesses, both, you know, an absolute passion for aesthetic. We're seeing some sort of generational shifts happening in these businesses. But I'd like to unpack just a little bit more the actual story of Cecile and Boyd. And I couldn't help but wish that I had met Cecile. I know all of you guys. I know Boyd very well. And I was never privileged enough to meet Cecile, but I was so pleased that you chose to publish a book when Cecile passed, in her honor and in her memory, because reading that book, oh my gosh, she's just a delight. And I just want to quote a little piece from her book, George, before I ask you to sort of trace the story a little bit more about the Cecile and Boyd journey together. You know, in the book, you have a beautiful quote which says, "Fabulously flamboyant and theatrically grand, Decor Doyen Cecile Tilly was original to the call. As a wife, friend, restaurateur and matriarch, Cecile was larger than life and she didn't do dull. Haughty and humble, Cecile was about as far from an austere style icon as you can get, nor was she a snob." I mean, tell us more about this incredible woman, George. She sounds just too fabulous for words.
She was. We absolutely adore her and miss her to this day. She was such an inspiration. Boyd first met her through a mutual friend, and for some reason they were just so attracted to each other. Boyd was in his early 20s. She was in her late 60s. I think she was looking for a creative outlet. Boyd was starting his business, or his journey, should I say, and they decided to start a company called Lamp Classics. And in those days, there was actually very little homeware or any sort of decor product available in South Africa. It was very, very new. We were sort of very much left on our own in South Africa, and we had to sort of come up with things locally. And they decided to start a company that made lamps and other decorative accessories. So they went along and they had these molds made, and they had them cast in concrete, and then they painted them. And how it all started while I was at university and Paul was also doing his work on his own, is that we would go along to Cecile's farm in Belito, and we would sit there all day and paint in our overalls, paint these decorative accessories, which then went out on a catalog to all decorators in South Africa. And it actually became a really amazing business. And Cecile just absolutely set the tone for how we did that work in that workshop, in our overalls. She would come out with these big trays with beautifully laid lunches with starched napkins. And we just laughed our way through the time. It was just such fun. She was such a hoot, such fun to be with. She took such an interest in all of our lives. She really, really adored us. She had never had children of her own. So she adored us almost as her own kids. And really, really, it was just such a fantastic start to our journey. Straight after Lamp Classics, Boyd and Cecile decided they needed somewhere to sell these things. So they opened their first shop in Durban. It was called Cecile and Boyd, not Lamp Classics. So they had evolved to the brand, the start of the brand, which was obviously their namesake. So they started this magnificent little shop. As you can imagine, it was just beautiful. Homeware stores were not, you know, very available in those days. And they sold all these products and they started making cushions and started making other accessories and wares. And they just, you know, everyone just flocked to the shop and started buying and decorating the homes. And then eventually people started saying, well, would you guys actually come and do our homes? And that's how Cecile and Boyd together started their interior design business. At the same time, I was at Bruce Stafford cutting my teeth, so to speak, in the design world. And we got offered this project that came along and we met Luke Bales on site in the Sabi Sands. It was just the most magical experience, just arriving in the middle of this wilderness out of Durban in our little aircraft out of Virginia Airport, and landing in this wilderness and standing on the current site of where Ebony is today and figuring out what we were going to build. Safari lodges were very basic in those days, and we had this opportunity to do something really special and to really set the bar of safari lodges in South Africa, and that's how it started.
Yeah, it's wonderful when I listen to you speak. Again, just so many similarities, that really organic beginning around a passion for what you do, not necessarily a business proposition, but a passion, which I certainly hear you sharing in Cecile's story and your connection to Cecile, all that love and care and nurturing that was going on. And sort of in this parallel universe, Luke Bales was starting to journey, I guess, in the same direction and also pioneering, as you say, George. I mean, he realized very soon that the safari industry just needed something new and refreshing. And his love of aesthetic and design and his understanding of the market and their love of aesthetic and design, I guess, is what brought Cecile and Boyd and Sangeeta together. And I just have to share a lovely little story here before I'm going to ask you another question, Paul. But when I joined Sangeeta 16 years ago, I remember Mark Whitney, who worked at Sangeeta at the time, who was COO at the time, telling me when I asked him the story of how Cecile and Boyd and Sangeeta got together. And he told me that, Geordie, you had been with Bruce Stafford. Bruce Stafford was the architect on the project, so he got to meet you. And in discussion with you around the interior and the design and the importance of the aesthetic, you suggested that perhaps Boyd should join the team. And that's exactly what Luke agreed to. Boyd joined the team. And Mark Whitney tells me that you were very strict, you and Boyd, around not allowing them to see the design until it was completed. So they sort of waited anxiously to see what it was you were going to present, knowing that this was going to be something different, as you say, that was going to redefine the aesthetic and experience in the safari industry. And he said to me, Mark, that the day of the big reveal, he and Luke walked into the main area at Ebony Lodge and looked at each other, looked at you, and, you know, not wanting to ever appear ungrateful, were very, oh, wow, guys, this is amazing. And Mark said, as soon as your back was turned, they looked at each other and said, I'm not sure we like this at all. And then had the courage to share that with you both. And you and Boyd, very masterfully and very confidently, probably in your early 20s in those days, right? Very masterfully and very carefully managed to shift Mark and Luke into a space of confidence in you and your ability and in relaxation around this fantastic new concept, and to remind them that they'd asked for something new and different. And I think that's such a beautiful story to me, because that really is the genesis of the Sangeeta brand and the commitment to Cecile and Boyd, even though you weren't really an entity in terms of the interior space for Sangeeta at that time. So such an endearing story. But Paul, I want to segue across to you now, because, you know, Sangeeta Ebony Lodge was unbelievably well received by the marketplace. In no time at all, it had achieved wonderful exposure in the New York Times, in the travel section. The brand just exploded. And so very quickly, Cecile and Boyd was brought in to look at doing a second lodge. So talk us through how you managed to segue into such a different concept at Boulders Lodge, and then to continue that thinking across the next 16 lodges that were launched over during this course of the last 30 years. Tell us how that happened, Paul.
It is such an interesting story. In the late 90s, Luke's family had Castleton Lodge, and the neighboring lodge, which was the Lewis's Camp on Ravens Court branch, was up for sale. The Lewises, after 30, 40 years, were packing up and going back to England. And Mandela was about to be released. And there was, Luke realized this incredible commercial opportunity, especially now that we were now included in the rest of the world. And the travel was about to be opened up. And the Ebony Kitchen is the current Lewis's Camp. It was filled with memorabilia, antiques, furniture, photographs. And that was really the inspiration for Ebony Lodge, which was this traditional adobe mud architecture with thatched roofs. And it was kind of, so it was this historic lodge, this kind of blend of Europe and Africa. And it was, as you say, it was a great success and took everyone by surprise. And a couple of years later, Luke said, you know, let's do another one. And that's, you know, further down the Sand River was this incredible site with incredible trees and incredible boulders. And that's where the site of Boulders was. And having done the historic look, we kind of studied the way we and tourists and travelers, you know, almost what they love about Africa. And it's such a sort of primal experience of being, you know, in the sand with animals, around fires, in nature. And we really looked at how could we immerse people in nature? How could we almost root them, ground them? And that's how we stood on that sand river and realized that we could dig out these rooms out of the sand river banks and almost bury the rooms and allow elephants to walk over. It was almost in those days it was quite an eco approach. So all the architecture, the furniture, accessories, etc., were all took this very sort of nature, natural, organic form. And we were kind of in those days. This was in December 1996 that we installed Singida Boulders. And there again, it was also very successful and well received. And Luke came to us and said, you know, we'd love to do something else. We need to look at Mapabongo or the Kruger. And at that time, there were 9 concessions coming up in the Kruger National Park. And Singida and many other operators bid for these concessions. And Singida was awarded the site that Lebombo is on now. It was the site that everyone wanted. It was 2000. It was a new millennium. There was this new time, this new safari. There was this newness, which was all very exciting. So there was this kind of this pressure, I suppose, because there was this award-winning site. Singida was winning these awards. It was a very exciting time. And we needed to look for a new expression to safari in a way. We had done, you know, the historic thing. We had done the organic lodge. And what were we going to do now? And when we had sat on this clean, incredible site and sat under trees with our feet over it, hanging over the rocks, staring at the river, we thought, well, this is exactly what we want to do. We actually really just want to sit on a rock under a tree. So we wanted to do something. We almost thought, well, let's just drop the walls and just almost have something almost quite transparent and invisible. And that's where the little glass boxes came. The other important thing about the Lebombo concession was that it had to touch the ground lightly. It had to, after 20 years, if the concession wasn't renewed, that everything could be taken away. So very little is buried in the ground. Everything is kind of on the ground, light, small, floaty. So it was a true contemporary African lodge in that way. The glass was there really just to protect you from, you know, the elements and malaria or animals and it was very, very exciting to be able to do this. The structure felt like tree trunks that held up the trees and the roof were in lats that felt like trees. And we put the mozzie net around the bed. Was actually looked like a tent. It was made by a tent company, so it felt like you were in a tent perched up on a rock. So that was really how Singida Lebombo came along. Singida Sweni, which is just further down the river, was a similar design, but because it's rooted in the river and surrounded by fever trees, we did a palette of khakis and greens and kept it quite more sort of moody and more nature colors.
At Lebombo, we designed the back of our buildings first. We built offices, kitchens, storerooms, around trees with natural light. A long bar in the main lodge was designed for guests and staff to work, hang out. There was a new mood of casualization and transparency. On Ebony and Boulders, we worked with architect Bruce Safford, and on Lebombo and Sweni, we worked with architects Joy Brasler and Andrew Macon. Good collaborations have always been key to the success of Singida Lodges. We then went on to design lodges in Zimbabwe, Tanzania, and Rwanda. More recently, we designed Ebony, 30 years after we first designed this first Singida Lodge.
Yeah, I mean, some wonderful points to pick up on there. And I mean, really what we're talking about today is this incredible relationship, these parallel journeys that Cecile and Boyd and Singida have traveled together for the last 30 years. And I mean, certainly I know Signature Singida is this ability to pioneer all the time when it comes to not only lodge design in many other areas, but particularly in lodge design. And this ability to contextualize design so that wherever Cecile and Boyd have designed a new lodge experience for Singida, it seems to somehow be totally original again and seems to always be so contextually right and somehow never dates. You know, you talk about Boulders there, Paul, and Boulders was built in 1996. almost 30 years ago. And yet when you walk into Boulders today, it feels as relevant today as it felt nearly 30 years ago. What is that, Geordie? I mean, how do you do that? How do you, is it because your brief from Sangeeta is so jolly amazing? Or is it, the relation? What is it that enables Cecile and Boyd every time to deliver the goods? Where does that come from?
I just think there's been an incredible relationship of trust formed between both of our companies. And I think what's happened is we've really been allowed to design something that is so original every time because we are so inspired by the newness of it. And so we go to a new site, we go to a new country, we go to a new property, and we analyze what it is about that place. And we refer to this as sense of place that inspires us, that we need to sort of bring out the essence feel of what we're feeling. So it's all about heart and feeling. More than it is about, you know, what's the latest fashion in design and, or interiors. And obviously we are all influenced by what's going on in the world through fashion, through architecture, through design, through every industry. There's a world view on design and that influences us. And as we go along, we draw from this. But what's really been so inspiring is that Sangeeta's given us full range of expression. And never stopped us to say, you know, what are you guys doing? Will it work? And I think the practicing of this through every single lodge, through moving from one lodge to the other, we've sort of practiced making these designer lodges work in the bush. So I think initially it was more about that designer lodge language was a new thing for the safari lodges. And then what happened was that it became more about Africa and nature and the place itself. So it was less intentionally about the design and creating something that the travel world hadn't seen before, but more about sort of such an authentic reaction to the places that we were designing in, to the people we were designing for, and to the ethos of Sangeeta that they were building up. You know, Sangeeta was building up this incredible community of Sangeeta guests and employees, this incredible brand, and we went along with that and really pushed the boundaries every time and were able to come up with something really novel and new each time.
Yeah, I must say, I think that part is very exciting because right from the very beginning, the exciting thing about Ebony was that it was the first time that luxury and safari had been put together. No one had ever done that before. That was really, you know, paradigm shifting. No one had done outside showers, and the rooms had their own sitting rooms and they have their own pools, etc., etc. And the amazing thing is that Sangeeta have always allowed that creative freedom in all these projects, and allowed us to craft our design all the way to the installation and beyond. I think they've recognized the power in that and how incredible that process is for us. And I think the other thing about the lodges that I think also makes them, you know, makes the concept so strong is that we always have this incredible vision initially that we make sure that we then weave that through all aspects so that it's important for us that the design is always holistic. We always bang on about that. And that everything from the design, from the architecture, the landscapers, the food, it's all looked at in a very holistic way, which ultimately enriches the guest experience. And that's what we're really interested in, that essence feel in the space, how it makes you feel when you're in a space. And that's everything from the floors to the walls to the ceiling to the finishes to the door handles to the food to the smells to the candles to the staff to the uniforms. It dominoes through all aspects. And that's really, really important for us.
So lots of things coming out there. I mean, you know, this trust that you talk about, both you, Paul, and George have spoken about this trust that there was between Sangeeta and Cecile and Boyd right from the very beginning. Lots of just raw talent, you know. From what you're saying, it's almost like you guys didn't realize just how talented you were. You just were able to play beautiful. And then I love, too, your continual reference to the market, you know, to who is it that we were trying to bring into this world and what was important to that market and how did we manage to explore every component of the guest experience so that we made sure that the journey the guest had with Sangeeta was the best it possibly could be. So yeah, so much richness and so much beauty there. And I know, you know, we've spoken a lot here about new properties and the new lodges in the portfolio. But Cecile and Boyd has been intimately involved in every redesign of the lodges too. You know, every 5 years, Singita does a refocus or a refurnish, a refresh. And every sort of 7 to 10 years, they do a complete repositioning of a property. And Ebony is a beautiful example. So, you know, originally built 30 years ago and this year had a complete reposition. So give us a quick summary of the brief for the new Ebony and how it's different and why it's different and how you feel about how it's turned out.
So for the new Ebony, we want to hone all the things we've learned along the way. So as we go lodge by lodge, we obviously apply all these incredible lessons and feedback that we get from guests. And we decided that we wanted to create more areas in the lodge that allowed for guests to have a lot of privacy. And the whole idea of actually bringing the guest into the experience, into the utmost experience. So bringing them right forward into the views, into the actual animals in front of you on the river. So we created these decks, these dining and living decks, where you could dine and live simultaneously. So each group of travelers could sit on their own and virtually spend, you know, hours in the same spot, not have to move around, you know, from dining to sitting to their suites. And we wanted to open up the space. We wanted to bring the back of house to the front of house. And I think this has been very instrumental in the success of Singita, is this whole merging of staff and culture with the guest experience. So the guests aren't there just to see animals and go on game drives, but to really, really feel the culture of the people, the community and the place, and to form their own relationships with the people that they come in contact with that are looking after them at Singita. I mean, that is such a powerful tool that Singita have embraced with your evolution, is this making of community between guest and staff. So we open planned the lodge to a certain extent. We basically made the whole bar and service area a place where both staff and guests mingle. There's no more sort of back of house servicing. Everything gets done in front of the guests. There's an amazing flow and visual flow and energy that runs through the spaces. So we created these dedicated spaces where you could sit, whether the weather's bad or the weather's good, all opportunities of having utmost comfort, utmost connection to nature, and utmost connection to the people at Singita.
Yeah, I mean, it's a significant refocus because it was the first lodge that was ever built. And there are so many things about this refocus that I think are genius. It hasn't lost any of its original patina, that sense that this is the first lodge. And yet it feels so now. It feels so right for where we are now. And I love how you've placed the conservation room, which is where guests interact with the conservation side of what Singita does, that you've placed that right in the heart of this lodge, because that for me is such a strong message around Singita's commitment to conservation. So yeah, really, really beautiful job. And I just have to say, I marvel every time at how you guys are able to come up with new thoughts in such a, it appears such an easy way in design at Singita. But I wanted to kind of segue on, and Paul, I'm going to ask you this very difficult question now. You know, the cynics out there might say to us, gosh, you guys at Singita, you've kind of stayed with one design company for 30 years. Do you not feel vulnerable? Are you not concerned in any way that this might not be such a good idea for you going forward? Are there any things, Paul, that, you know, that you think could get in the way of this partnership?
Going back to Singita Ebony from the very first time it was handed over, and as Mark pointed out, it was we were unsure of the design, and it was so conceptual and almost unrecognizable. And then very soon after that, everyone, you know, started enjoying it and realized how special it was. And I think that's what was important from then and in all projects that we do, is that there is this very holistic approach to design, and there's incredible depth to the thought process that goes into the people that use it, the people that work there, the people that will travel there, how it looks, how it feels, how it smells, how it works. We're so interested in the whole process from, you know, the front of house, the back of house, how that flows up and down, into nature, the seamless transition of in and out. And we've been such a crucial part of that whole holistic approach. And I think that's the thing that Sangeeta have always appreciated, that we have thought about exactly from when the guests arrive at the airstrip to when they leave. We've almost become the custodian of the Sangeeta designs and the Sangeeta guest experience and how it works. And so there's been this lovely relationship between Sangeeta and ourselves, this incredible trust. You know, it's almost a business partnership in a way. We're close friends, we work together, we like what we do, and there's been this incredible journey that we've been on together. But I think it does come back to that holistic approach to design and how we weave that through all elements.
I also think that our company have made a very calculated decision to stay very small and very bespoke, because a lot can get lost in expansion, you know, and I think Sangeeta's done the same thing. So there's been a very thought out, slow growth in Sangeeta and all your properties that you've acquired. And we've also decided we don't want to have rows and rows of designers working. For us, we want to be very hands-on, undiluted product. Boyd has been an incredible inspiration. I would really say that he's been the genius of the pearls of concepts that to start, you know, head start all these projects. And because of that very strong concept and direction, all parties of you know, working on these projects have fed off that. I think that that's why, you know, our relationship has lasted for so long. And of course, if Sangeeta sort of doubles or triples, we're not going to be able to keep up. And we would definitely welcome in new blood. But, you know, we just feel very attached to the brand. And we just want to carry on giving Sangeeta our absolute everything. We care about the brand so much. We care about the company so much. And we absolutely are passionate about the properties and nature and the whole conservation drive.
You know, what you're touching on there is so many common values. As two businesses, we share many common values. You know, I think it's remarkable that after 30 years, when we have design meetings, which we do regularly with you guys, we're still dealing with the three of you. You know, that, as you say, you've remained small. You've remained focused. No, man, you were very young when you started. I did mention that earlier. But I think it is, I think it's pretty unusual that 30 years on, the people that were in the room 30 years ago are still the people in the room today who are designing these lodges going forward. It's still the same core team. So that commitment to remaining small, to remaining really focused, to being very passionate and dedicated to what we do on both sides, I think is part of what will give us longevity and part of what removes any fear of working together going forward. And yes, your mention of Boyd, I mean, Boyd has been just the most incredible guiding light for us, you know, in the concept space and giving us the inspiration and the direction on all of these projects. So let's talk now a little bit about the next 30 years. You know, what do you think is going to be important in the next 30 years in design? The last 30 years of Sangeeta and Cecile and Boyd together, Cecilia Boyd has played a significant role in helping Sangeeta to pioneer in the design space over 30 years. What do you think is going to be important for Sangeeta to know in the design space going forward? Do you see things being very different, or do you think we're just going to keep going along the journey that we've been on? I don't know which one of you to ask this of. It's a tough question.
I think we'll both be on a beach under an umbrella. still coming around from the stress that we've endured. No, I'm joking. Paulie, do you want to jump in?
Previously, we had looked at new cutting-edge hotel design as our inspiration. As we evolved in this privileged space of designing, in these rare wildernesses, a sense of place became more important. We needed to blend hotel discipline of today with an authentic, grittier, grounding nature experience, getting guests as close to nature as possible, perhaps pushing guests' comfort level slightly, not offering everything that opens and shuts, more edited, curated, luxurious guest experience. less noise, less aircon, less pool pumps, less signage, less branding, less switches, less amenities, less rush, less footprint, less choice, less waste. Designing a back of house space as a front of house space and blurring the lines of service. Designing a home for the team and their comfort and how they navigate the simpler consciousness, which ultimately is less stressful.
I mean, you've already taken us on such a journey of evolution. If I have a look at, you know, lodges in the Singita portfolio, like Sasakwa, like Pamashana, like Ebony to an extent, and, you know, and how you've segued us into a much lighter, all these things you talk about, Paul, simplicity, closeness to nature, health, you know, and I look at a lodge like Sabora, which is really simple design, tented right on the plains. That's quite a journey we've been through. And I'm wondering, do you think we'll get to a stage where we hardly have any lodge, where people are pretty much just almost camping under the stars? Do you see that as a possibility going forward?
I do think that the whole idea of paring back the experience and making it more raw and authentic and pure is definitely going to have an effect on the aesthetic and the visual design that we come up with. And it seems like we're going in that direction where each sort of up-and-coming lodge, we're thinking more primal. So yes, you have to provide the luxury, but how can we do it in a way that is so unnoticeably designer and more of creating a true nature experience where the guest can be so in touch with nature on so many different levels. I really, really think that this paired back experience is what you're also looking at, Lindy, when you guys are designing your guest experiences and what the guest actually, how they live the lodge and how they experience it.
Absolutely. And I think it probably takes even more skill when you start paring back and start simplifying things. It actually requires more rather than less skill. And I loved your point earlier that you raised about creating a sense of community in these properties, where the Singita people who are working at these properties start to really form relationships with guests, and to feel, they feel like the guests feel like they're part of a community when they're at the property, rather than that they're being served by somebody. And the way you guys design the properties and the way you lay them out takes that into account. So facilitates that sort of connection that people are really, really looking for, which is awesome. Yeah, Paul, I wanted to ask you, you know, over and over and over again, you've got to come up with new designs, new concepts, new ways of thinking. Each client you work with, let alone Singita, you've got to keep coming up with this new thinking. Where does that inspiration come from?
I think it just comes from, you know, through life experiences. We are lucky enough to travel for work and for fun. And I suppose, you know, through travel, through business partners, through life experiences. I think if you live a curious life, you're kind of always, you know, seeking out these incredible places and interesting people and, you know, galleries and etc. etc. So I think, you know, this is where, you know, a life is inspiring. You know, nature's inspiring.
So you just look at the world through inspiring eyes. You know, you just are picking up on all these amazing stimuli and processing them, right? And then you're able to reproduce that in design, which is really cool.
The important part, I mean, obviously the inspiration comes from all these life experiences, but, you know, the a lot of the inspiration also comes from the client, the brief, the people that are using it, the sense of place. That's really important to us. So those are really key elements right at the beginning of the project that really can inform a lot of the design.
Yeah, Jordan, I mean, I've seen you guys, I mean, I've seen your journey into more and more African inspiration in your design and what you're bringing to us, and a lot more incorporation of this unbelievable African design culture that we're lucky to be part of here. And we just, you know, the latest, one of our latest projects, Mara of a Tented Camp, up in the Serengeti is kind of entirely African inspired. So just tell me a little bit more about that journey too.
I think, you know, in the beginning when we set out as youngsters, we were sort of more in awe of what was happening in Europe and across the seas. And I think that we drew a lot of product and a lot of inspiration from there. We obviously had to customize a lot of things that we couldn't get you in South Africa. So we started off using or, you know, local workshops, local manufacturers, local craftspeople. So we definitely did that, but we did rely heavily on what was available internationally. As the time has gone on, and also there's been this awareness of becoming more sustainable and really looking back towards Africa, because Africa has just this incredible wealth of artistry, craft, and original design that you know, has been coming out of it. And where Africa is now inspiring the rest of the world rather than, you know, us looking towards the Northern Hemisphere. And I think that is such an incredible evolution. And as we've gone through our process of designing different lodges, we are more and more inspired and more excited about seeking out local talent. And there is so much of it. And we really feel much more passionate about it than we did originally. We've really become much more aware of showcasing, you know, local African artists and craftspeople, and trying to do as much as we can from locally. And also, wherever we do the projects, whether it's Tanzania or Zimbabwe or Botswana, drawing on what's locally available there, trying to develop the local industry or help develop the local industry by using local things.
We've also, over the years, we've formed wonderful relationships with lots of amazing craftspeople around the country who do lots of our joinery in all the lodges we've been working with for 30 years. You know, there's also, you know, weavers that make amazing grass mats and furniture for us, and the upholsterers that we've been working with also for years. So that know us and understand us and understand all the, you know, the quality and all the nuances that we try to achieve in all these amazing pieces.
Yeah, and of course, that's hugely valuable, because if you don't have the relationships and you aren't able to source what you're looking for, then even if you might want to be doing that, it becomes really difficult when you're on a deadline and a client wants a lodge done in time if you don't have those relationships. So that's very important that you guys have developed those relationships over time. And, you know, I think of Kwitonda Lodge and Kataza House up in Rwanda, where, I mean, even the bricks that lodge is built from were made by local artisans. There are these beautiful stories around the crockery, where local people who were making pottery were approached, and a whole lot of different artists created, I suppose, the crockery, and wanted some sort of way of indicating that there were different creators of the crockery. So the little ears on the mugs are different. Each potter had his own design of ear for the mug, etc. So these are really beautiful stories, and I think it just circles me back to the incredibly important role that design plays in the guest experience. Because even if the guest might not verbalize it, what they're feeling when they're in the property is so influenced by the design, every little element of the design. So it is definitely one of the hallmarks of Singita's success, is this design ethos and this design journey that we've been able to walk with your team at Cecile and Void. We've been chatting for quite a while now, so I'm wondering if we should wrap it up. I just wanted to say that I think relationships of this nature are not common. I think it's beautiful that we can tell this story, and, you know, 30 years later we're still together. And I want to just quote Milton Glaser, who the doyen or the father of logo design. He's the guy who designed that I Love New York logo. And in one of the speeches Milton Glaser gave, where he was asked about what makes teams successful, what makes design companies successful, he said, you know, you don't have to like the people you work with, but it's funny how when you do, the magic happens. And for me, that kind of summarizes the Cecile and Boyd and Singita journey. We really like each other. We have fun together. We like working together. And I guess that's why we see so much magic happening. So I'm going to ask you both, Paul, you first maybe, and then George, to just share anything more you'd like to share before we close the session out. Anything more you'd like to share with listeners about the future maybe of Singita and Cecile and Boyd together?
Yes, I think it is very rare that we have this wonderful symbiotic relationship. We both small businesses, both owner-run, owner-managed, and have had this unique journey together and respected each other along the way. There's been an amazing loyalty to each other, and And I think we both value that, and we all, from both sides, we take lots of care in protecting that relationship. And as we go on to now, we've just had the exciting brief from yourselves about Botswana, which has been a dream for Singita and ourselves. We're really, really excited about that. As it is, we're very, very proud of the incredible portfolio of lodges that Singita have. And going forward, there are very exciting lodges planned for Botswana.
George, and a final word from you.
I think the intimacy of our relationship on so many levels is going to still have a good lifespan going forward because of all the amazing parallels that we share. We've watched Luke's sons grow up and now become integral members of the business, and we are so excited for them. We are excited by the new projects that we've been told about. And the expansion. Also wanted to just give a shout out to the other design teams we work with, the architects and the interior designers. We've had a wonderful relationship with Sally Cilianis from Gap Architects over the last 15 years, as well as Megan Hess more recently with her design company HK. I think the collaborations are so important and really we are absolutely thrilled and excited for the next stage. And yeah, Lindy, thank you so much for being a fantastic host today.
Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of the Singita podcast, Safari Conversations. Until next time. Paul, Jordi, thank you very much and goodbye to you both.
Thank you, Lindy.
Thank you, Lindy. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to follow other episodes of our podcast series, Safari Conversations, please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from or on our website at singita.com.